Hear the temptation to sell out or maintain integrity from the book of John, chapter 11. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. "What are we accomplishing?" they asked. "Here is this man performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our nation." Then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. "You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish." He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. Therefore, Jesus no longer moved about publicly among the people of Judea. Instead, he withdrew to a region near the wilderness, to a village called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, many went up from the country to Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing before the Passover. They kept looking for Jesus, and as they stood in the temple courts, they asked one another, "What do you think? Isn't he coming to the festival at all?" But the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that anyone who found out where Jesus was should report it so that they might arrest him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, you know, that Laura's pretty smart. I noticed the faith people left before that song. So evidently, weird may not be something we want to put on display as openly as we think sometimes. You know, when my mom was older, we got her one of those stair lifts, you know, that you sit in. It takes you up the stair. Okay. That's okay. Okay. How's that? Is that working? No? 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 15. I have no idea. It's green. Turn. 1, 2.
It's green. Talk.
1, 2, 6, 10. You don't want to miss my joke, so.
I know.
That's right. Okay. That's right. I'll try to talk a little louder. So when my mom was, she lived at 94, but when she was older, we got her one of those stair lifts, you know, that take you sit in at the bottom of the stairs, and it takes you up the stairs to the top. And I called her and asked her how she was liking it. She said, "Well, you know, it's driving me up the wall." So you didn't want to miss that. That's kind of a classic, you know. So we come to this story in the bigger picture of what God's doing here, and the story of Caiaphas, which kind of seems out of place. You know, we haven't really seen him that much. Mostly we've been seeing what Jesus is doing and his disciples and how they're interacting. And then we come to this moment when we kind of step back from Jesus and his disciples and we listen in on what Caiaphas and his guys are doing. And Caiaphas makes a huge mistake here. And we're kind of obvious to us, you know. But even at the time, I think it was the way he thought about things. I don't know if you've ever worked any place where they give you a bonus, you know, like at the end of the year, a performance bonus. I worked at a place like that for a while, and, you know, it's pretty neat, but then they changed managers, and they quit giving the bonus. And, you know, the weird thing was that the guys who hid out in the garage or this was at a funeral home in another city, who hid out in the warehouse where we keep the caskets during the day, they hid out there just as much when we got the bonus as they did when we didn't get the bonus. And the people who did the work continued to do the work whether we were getting the bonus or not. It's kind of this idea that we think that people want to be rewarded by their performance. And there is this outward motivation, and there is that inward motivation. And I think sometimes we get mixed up about how God deals with us. We think of heaven as a reward. It's not a reward. It's the desire of our hearts, but more than that, it's the desire of God's heart. It's not a reward for us doing well or for believing the right things. It is the fulfillment of what we were created for. It is where we're going because that's what God has created us to be. And so when we come to Caiaphas, he's got this idea in his head that his job is to get the outcome that he thinks God wants. And we can't fault him, really. You know, he's thinking here, you know, if Jesus continues to stir people up like he has when he raised Lazarus, you know, you raise somebody from the dead that draws a little attention, especially when you do it in front of a crowd. I mean, this is not healing somebody who's blind or somebody who's lame. Lazarus died. He was buried for 4 days, and Jesus comes to them, and he calls Lazarus out of the grave, and Lazarus comes out, and he lives. He sits down, and he eats with them, and he talks with them. He is returned to them, and people, the word says, believed because of this miracle that Jesus did, but not everybody believed. Some of them tattled, you know. And there's some in every crowd, you know, some who are the believers and who are positive and into it, and those people who are tattletales and who see the negative side of it. And they go to the Pharisees and to Caiaphas, and they say, you know, if Jesus keeps doing stuff like this, he's going to cause a riot. And Caiaphas says, if there's a riot, the Romans are going to come in, and they're going to destroy our temple, and they're going to take away everything we believe. And so what he believes is, what would God want me to do in this situation? The result, the outcome that God wants is for us to be safe from the Romans. And so Caiaphas manipulates things to get the outcome that I think he believed that God wanted. Does that sound bad? I don't know that it's bad, but it's the wrong motivation. It's this idea that we need to be rewarded for obedience by what happens, by the consequences and the outcomes of our actions. This idea that obedience always gets us what we want, that misleads us. Caiaphas was the high priest. You know, this is kind of like, you know, if you're a basketball coach and you see LeBron playing basketball, and you, instead of thinking, man, I'd really like to have him on my team, you think, you know, I need to get this guy's leg broke. It's kind of like you're a real estate agent, and somebody, you'd run up on the Taj Mahal, and instead of thinking, man, I'd really like to sell this house, you think, well, let's burn this to the ground so nobody else can sell it. That's kind of what Caiaphas does. He sees Jesus, this prophet, who has been doing miracles, who's doing great things, and he thinks, how can I stop this? Because God wants us to be safe rather than being part of what God was doing. And I think that that's where we live. We live in a world that bases everything on outcomes. Do you get the result that you want? I mean, think about jobs. If you're a salesman, and I was a salesman for a while, you have quotas, and you have to sell so many things at a time. If you don't have the outcome that they want, you don't get the reward that they promised you. Teachers these days, you have to get your kids to pass the test. You have to get the outcome, or you don't get promoted or rewarded or whatever the next step is. If you're a builder, you have deadlines and you have prices that you're supposed to stay under. You have to meet those or you don't get more business. If you're a doctor, you have to see so many people a day to make the income that you need to make to pay your bills. We all live in this world that bases what we do on the outcome of our actions. Are we producing enough? And if we do, then we get a reward. Caiaphas thought, if I can guarantee this outcome, then we will be good. That my job is to make sure that this particular thing happens. And we do that with God's will in our lives. What way we think about it is, what is God's will for my life? And we picture that in these very specific things, like I need to have this job, or I need to marry that person, or I need to live in this place, or I need to have a certain type of ministry. And we think that it's the outcome that God is interested in, when it's not. What God is interested in is what's our motivation in our hearts. What does God ask of us? He doesn't ask us to produce outcomes. He asks us to love our neighbor and to love our enemy and those who persecute us, and then see what happens. You see, there's this bigger story that we've been talking about for the last year and a half. Last year we talked about the whole year, the story that God was writing. What is it that God is doing? That God is at work in the world writing this story. And what is that story about? It is about the kingdom of God. And what are the two truths that you all memorized and know by heart about the kingdom? Jesus is king, and the kingdom is here and now. That's the story that God is writing. And he invites us into that story. And what we want to do, our calling is to recognize what God is doing in this story and participate in it. Not produce certain outcomes, not make sure that certain things happen, but to be part of what God is doing in our lives. And what is our part? Primarily, our part is to love our neighbor, to love God, and because we love him, to love our neighbor. And sure, that means we do stuff. Sure, it means we get involved in things, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they always produce the outcome that we think they should. For instance, about this time last year, I was involved in the Poor People's Campaign. It was an effort to help alleviate racism and poverty and injustice in our state and in our country. And to tell you the truth, when it started, I really didn't have a lot of hope that it would change things, and it hasn't done a whole lot yet. But so what? I believe that was what love looked like. That love looked like people who had privilege and power using that for people who didn't. And so I was part of that. We, as a church, are part of this mobile grocery, which we think and hope will help people in poor communities who don't have transportation or access to food that is affordable and healthy. And so our goal was to love our neighbor. Now that may flop completely. It may not last a year. But the outcome is not necessarily what we want to measure by. Our attempt, our motivation was to love our neighbor. We do that, you know, if you mentor kids, you know, some of those kids respond and some of them don't. But it's not the outcome that we measure our lives by. It is this attempt to love our neighbor, to pour our lives into them. What is our calling? It is to love recklessly, to love with abandon. It is a love that is willing to take risk and to have no agenda about how people respond to that love. God is building his kingdom. That's his story. His story is that he is bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And we get to be part of that. And our part is not guaranteeing like Caiaphas thought. He had to guarantee, he had to defend the people of God. His call was to be part of what God was doing. He could have been part of what Jesus was doing, but instead he plotted his death. Sometimes we get so caught up in outcomes that we forget that our call is to love the person in front of us, to love the people within our reach, to love the people that God puts into our world. And then we do that in very practical ways. We do it through these things we do through the church, things we do individually. But it's not the outcome that we measure our lives by. Think about parenting. Yeah, we want our kids to turn out good. We want them, I mean, we kind of have this picture. And, you know, generally when we say we want them to turn out good, we want them to turn out like us, right? You know, that's kind of basically what we do. Maybe that's not such a great thing, but... But we don't measure we don't stop loving our kids because they don't turn out the way we want them to. It's not the outcome. We love them and we teach them and we try to train them. We do all that stuff because we want them to turn out and have good lives. But we never stop because of what that outcome is, whether it's what we wanted or not. We continue to love. Too often, we measure our lives by the outcomes of our efforts. We keep trying to produce something or to defend ourselves or to prove something when we are called into this kingdom of God to be part of what he is doing. Caiaphas, you know, he was right. There was going to be problems with the Romans, and he kept them away for another 40 years. But in AD 70, the Romans came in and they destroyed the temple. And they wiped out the worship there in that place. They took away everything that Caiaphas tried to defend. And so the outcome that he was hoping for didn't last. But what if he had been part of what God was doing? What if he had recognized in Jesus this thing that was happening and he could have been part of that? You know, loving our neighbor is not a simple thing. I'm not trying to make that sound easy. It's really tough because we have to think through what that looks like. And because most of us are pretty broken ourselves. And we have these voices in our heads that tell us what love looks like when that may not be right. You know, the truth is we get it wrong a lot. And so if we're going, what does love look like? It looks like Jesus and it looks like the kingdom. And God invites us to create those kinds of relationships and that kind of world. Part of what it means is we choose to love. That's something we can do. We simply remind ourselves that we choose to love the people around us. And we believe that God uses that to change the world. We admit that we're going to get it wrong a lot of times. That sometimes we're going to do it in such a way that it doesn't feel like love to the person who receives it because we are broken. But that's okay because we continue to choose to be part of what God is doing in our world because he invites us to discover the life we were created to have. Caiaphas was the high priest and he missed it because he had this idea of the outcome that he wanted and he never saw what God was doing. I think we even do that with God's will for our life. We think that it's this very specific thing when the reality is the will of God is for us to express his grace, to share his love in every opportunity that we have. Sure, there are some specific things we do, some things that we can be involved in, some things that we can hope that have outcomes that we hope for, but they may not be. You know, the word says there that Caiaphas said that as a prophecy, that one man should die rather than the whole nation. And then it says that he was prophesying about what Jesus was going to do, that he was going to die not just for that nation, but for the scattered children of God to become one. We are a scattered people, broken in our own hearts. He wants to put us together, to give us a wholeness, a harmony in our lives. And what is that? It's not measuring it by outcomes, by what we produce, but it is this opportunity to be part of the kingdom of God as we love the people around us and find ways to do that that reflect this kingdom of God of justice and peace and righteousness that Jesus came to establish. When we care for the poor and the powerless, for the sick and the prisoner and the naked, whenever we do it unto them, we do it unto Jesus and we build his kingdom. And so, as we seek to discover these ways, we discover harmony in our lives and in our church. And so this morning, how do we decide if our lives are good or not? Not by the outcomes, not by what we produce, but which is the direction that we're living toward? Are we living toward this kingdom of God, this presence of God amongst us by loving our neighbor? We all have the chance to do that. We all have the opportunity, and he invites us in. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your call on us to be part of what you're doing. We ask, Father, that you would help us to recognize and to discover the opportunities that we have, not just to do specific things, but to love the people around us, to be part of your kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven, by being part of the way you love our neighbor. We ask, Father, that you would give us visions and insights and help us to recognize the opportunities we have and to create new ones, but all the time remembering that it's not the outcome that is up to us, but it is this desire to be part of what you're doing in our world. We thank you, Jesus, that you are among us in these moments. And as we prepare to come to your table, we ask, Father, that you would remind us that you have loved us first, that we love because you loved us. And that while we were sinners and while we were your enemies, you loved us. And so let your life fill us, that we will love those around us, whether they respond or not, but that we will give ourselves to this kingdom of God. In Jesus' name.